Now this morning I want to also encourage those. Jens mentioned a few names of the intercessors in our church. Thank you, and I know there are many more praying at home. But you know, nowhere does the Bible mention the ministry of intercession. Everyone is called to prayer. And it's everyone's duty to pray. Now this morning, I've got two dear friends from the Ukraine, who are in dire straits at the moment. They've been working here for 2 or 3 years. All of a sudden, they got notification that there's something wrong with the visa, and they've got 10 days to leave. Nina, will you please come forward, Victor? Their daughter is here. You know Luda, who used to play the piano accordion? That's her mom and dad. And they so desire to stay in the country. But now it seems to me everything is against them. But God is in control. Amen. And God can do some wonderful thing here in our midst. So let's pray this morning with faith. And believe that God, within the next 10 days, God is going to turn this whole situation around. And because they are a blessing to the body of Christ. Even in their broken English, they are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. Derek, Dale, Asher, will you just come and lay hands on them? Father, you are faithful. You have called them. You've called them by name, and you've called them to South Africa. And Father, we know that the enemy will do his utmost to stop them being a blessing. And Father, I just pray that you will work in the hearts of those authorities, that they will grant those visas so that they will be able to stay here, Father. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, where there is no way, you make a way. Where there is seems to us like brass gates, Lord, you break open those gates for us, and you make a way for Victor and Nina to stay here. Father, may your name be glorified, and may they have a testimony of your saving grace, of your provision. In Jesus' name, we call upon your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Bless you. And then there's just somebody here I believe I want to introduce to you. Marielle, waar is jy? Kom een beetje hierso. This is now the new Mrs. Morja. So she might not be...
Hello,
Father, I just pray that you will make her stay here in Franschhoek. So glorious, Father, and that together with in this body that you've placed her, that she will be a blessing. Lord, we love her already, and we know, Lord, that you have sent them here. And supply all their needs according to your riches. Lord, we pray especially for their apartment in Paul where they are living. Father, you know the situation, the conditions, but we know that you are in control. And Lord, that this lesson that they are, this test that they are writing at this moment, that they will pass with flying colors in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, every time, of course, now, this is the last session on prayer. And I usually prepare my sermons 2 months in advance. And so for the last 2 months, every time I listen to a sermon, say, oh, please don't go there, Jens, don't. Then he does go there. Then I've got to go and delete some of my stuff and start all over again. So, but I'm going to concentrate on the practical aspects of prayer this morning. Firstly, prayer is something that happens only on this side of heaven. It is something for which man has to take the initiative. Matthew 7, 7 to 11 says, man pleads, God answers. We knock, God opens the doors. We ask, and God supplies. The initiative rests with man. Secondly, there's God's self-imposed limitations. And this is where prayer plays such a vital role. Because there are certain areas where God, for reasons unknown to us, has chosen to limit his own options and consequently his freedom to act in such situations. One of these areas is the preaching of the good news. God has decided that the good news will only be preached by man. He could and would have done a much better job than any one of us, but he has limited himself and he will not do it. Neither can the angels do it. A classical example is in Acts chapter 10, where God sends an angel to Cornelius, and all he has to do is to give Cornelius a name and address of a man, a preacher, namely Peter. It took a man to share the gospel, the good news, with another man. That is how God ordained it. Another area where God has limited himself and his options is in the area of prayer. James 4, verse 2, verse 3 says, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Psalm 2 verse 8 says, only ask and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, the whole earth as your possession. And this is what makes prayer so vital in the fulfillment of the Great Commission. And my brothers and sisters, there are only two criteria according to which you can determine the power and the... That's a vulture. Oh, she's listening to her own music. There are only two criteria according to which you can see how effective you are in the kingdom. It is... The first one is, how effective is your own personal prayer life and the corporate prayer life of our church? Because this is a true reflection of your love for God. Secondly, how effective is our church with regards to evangelism and missions? Because your love, that shows your love and concern for the lost. The other day I was privileged to go and listen to the testimony of a converted Muslim. Wonderful testimony. But then he ended, he said, there is only one thing in this world that is worse than a radical Muslim, and that is a passive Christian. A passive Christian. My brothers and sisters, we need to wake up. Now, for the more practical side. Luke 11, verse 1. When Jesus, when one of Jesus' disciples requested, Lord, teach us to pray, none of the other disciples objected. No one walked away saying, oh, please, man, not another teaching on prayer. Hey, man, I've got prayer figured out. The first followers of Jesus needed prayer guidance. In fact, the only tutorial that they ever requested was on prayer. They could have asked for instructions on many topics. How to multiply bread. How to prepare a good sermon. to still the storms, turning water into wine, walking on water, raising the dead, or how about a seminar on how to vacate the cemetery? Please, Lord, invite us to your next school of the supernatural. Now, most of us would have loved to attend that. But prayer, that's a schlep. That's hard work. My brothers and sisters, if you regard this as hard work, if you regard that as hard work or as a job, then it is going to be hard work. But prayer, his followers never called for any one of these, but they did want him to do this. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, might their interest have been something to do with the jaw-dropping, the eye-popping promises Jesus attached to prayer? For example, Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Matthew 21:22, if you believe, you will get anything you ask for in prayer. And Jesus never attached any such powers to other endeavors. He never said, plan and it will be given to you. Proverbs 19, the message says, we humans keep brainstorming options and plans, but God's purpose prevails. How often have we made our plans and then we ask Jesus to bless our plans? Or somebody, how often have people, Christians, quoted the Bible saying, God helps only those who help themselves? Or you will get everything, anything that you work for. These words are not in the Bible. John 15, verse 7. If you remain in me and follow my teachings, you can ask anything you want. Ask yourself, if you have unanswered prayers, isn't that maybe our problem? Are we always remaining in Christ and following his teachers? Jesus gave stunning prayer promises, and he set a compelling example. Jesus prayed before he ate. He prayed for children. He prayed for the sick. He prayed with thanks. He prayed with tears. He who had made the planets and shaped the stars, yet he prayed. Now Matthew 6 verse 5 says, and when you pray, Jesus constantly went out to pray, and the disciples saw the change when he came back after praying. He was bold. He had authority. They saw the results, and they asked him to teach them to pray. When you pray, not if you pray. He expects all to pray, compulsory, and it's not optional. Listen carefully, my princess. Because relationship is maintained only by communication. Communicating with our Father through prayer. I remember when we started the church in Franschhoek. We were a small group, but we had such a relationship. It was wonderful relationships that we had. But after a few years, most of those people left. Only ones left is Betsy and Derek and Rosita and ourselves. For the first 2 years, we tried to keep contact by maybe writing a letter or phoning. But slowly, it fizzled out. Whereas at the moment, because we have broken contact, there is no relationship anymore. It's the same with your Heavenly Father. Unless you keep communication open, slowly, slowly, you are eroding your relationship with your Heavenly Father. He teaches us how not to pray. He commands us, you shall not be like the hypocrites, the pretenders. That's the same Greek word there as for actors. In those days, the actors wore masks. They were two-faced, And God hates that. Do not ever fake it with God. Be real. And the other night, we were at the cell meeting. And we were discussing prayer. And so we asked the one brother, what do you think about prayer? He says, no, I'm not very fond of prayer. I mean, he was just open. He doesn't fake it. He was honest about this whole thing. And I think God will bless him for that. Be real. Tell him if you don't feel great. Tell him if you don't feel like praying. Don't use flowery words to impress others. Try to impress man instead of seeking God's approval. Jesus taught us to begin our prayers by saying, Our Father in heaven. More specifically, our Abba in heaven. Abba is an intimate, tender, folksy, pedestrian term. The warmest of the Aramaic words for Father. Formality is stripped away. Proximity is promised. And Jesus invites us to approach God the way a child approaches his or her daddy. And how do children approach their daddies? Just to go to a school playground and find out. Most kids, of course, are picked up by their mothers. But come to think of it, for what other reason were those 4x4s bought for? But when a 5 or 6 year old spots his dad in the parking lot, how does he react? Yuppie! Dad over here! As he rushes off to the swings, come and push me! Or daddy, can Tommy please come home with us tonight, today? Or excited, daddy, look what I've made! Here is not what you, this is what you won't hear. Father, it is most gracious of thee to drive thy tougherer Toyota to my place of education to provide me with domestic transportation. Please accept my deep gratitude for your benevolence, for thou art splendid in thy attentive care and diligent in thy dedication. You won't ever hear such formality or impressive vocabulary. You will hear kids who were happy to see the dad and eager to speak. God invites us to approach him in the same manner. What a relief. So many of us fear mispraying. What are the expected etiquette and dress codes of prayer? What if we kneel or prostrate ourselves instead of stand or sit? What if we say the wrong words or use the wrong tone? Am I apostate if I have a slip of the tongue and I say prostate instead of prostrate? What is Jesus' answer? Matthew 18, verse 3. Unless you are converted, become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Become as little children. Carefree, joyful, trusting, curious, excited. Forget greatness. Seek littleness. Come to God the way a child comes to daddy. Daddy. Other salutations permit an air of sophistication. Especially when praying in public, we tend to deepen the tone of our voice and wait for a dramatic effect. Oh, holy God. And I let those words reverberate throughout eternity before I continue. Oh, God, you are the king and I am your prince. Oh, God, you are the maestro, and I'm your minstrel. Oh God, you are the president, and I am your ambassador. But I really believe that God prefers this greeting, God, you are my daddy, and I'm your child. Here's why. It's hard to show off and still call God daddy at the same time. Possible, impossible, in fact. Perhaps this is the point. Jesus gave these instructions in Matthew 6, verse 5. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand in the synagogues and on the street corners and pray so people will see them. I tell you the truth, they already have their full reward. Religious leaders loved and still do to make theater out of their prayer. They perch themselves at intersections and practice public piety. But that show nauseated Jesus. Matthew 6, verse 6. When you pray, you should go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who cannot be seen. Your Father can see what is done in secret, and he will reward you. These words must surely have stung Jesus' audience. Prayer, they likely assumed, was reserved for special people in a special place. God met with the priests in the temple, behind the curtain, in the Holy of Holies. But the people were simple people, simple farmers and stonemasons. They couldn't enter the temple, but they could enter their closet. Go into your room and close the door. My brothers and sisters, we have to show the world that we are serious about this time with God. Shut the door. If we don't take that time seriously, the world will not take us seriously. Shut the door. Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We pray with a closed door. But when we go out to obey the instructions we have received in prayer, we do it in such a way that people will see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Pray and obey go together. Obedience is like spiritual body language. We say a lot more by what we do, how we respond to our prayer. Prayer and obey. Be consistent. Pray with a closed door, but obey with an open door. When the door is closed, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Something awesome happens here. This normal room transformed into a secret place. 24 hours hotline to heaven. FaceTime. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. But if you open the door on prayer, you close the door on reward. God can only reward in public that which happens in private, in the secret place. John Wesley said these words. Sorry. Where am I now? John Wesley said these words. He says, prayer is where the action begins. Please excuse me. I think I'll put my notes. Close the door. In today's modern times, Jesus would probably have said something like this. Go into your room, close the door, switch off the TV, switch off your cell phone, and unplug the house phone. Exodus 30, verse 1 to 6. God gives Moses the exact details, the plans for building the altar of incense, the place where praise and thanksgiving was going to take place. But he ends his instructions in verse 6 with these words, I will meet with you there. The Russian Bible puts it so beautifully. It says, I will open my heart to you there. I believe the Old Testament altar and the New Testament closet are synonymous. Your closet is a meeting place. And as Dale once said in one of his messages, you will never arrive at the meeting place and find that God is not there. Most of us, when we wake up in the morning, we have such a long list of about 1,000 things that need to be done. Isn't that true? This and this must be done because this and this is so important. But these things must wait until I have been to my closet. Martin Luther said this, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. My brother and sister, listen. Prayer is not a spare wheel that you can pull out whenever you're in trouble. But it's a steering wheel that directs the right path through your day and the rest of your life. John Bunyan said these words. He who runs from the Lord, from God in the morning, will scarcely find him the rest of the day. Your time in the closet or wherever you choose to pray is going to determine your destiny. The closet must be our priority number one. If not, God will not be able to download the things he wanted you to have or the things that he wants you to do. He won't be able to give you your assignments for the day. And the assignments come only from the closet. That's why John Wesley said, prayer is where the action is. And I realize that in 24 hours, there are so many things that need our attention because we are being kept so busy. Your wife and your children need your attention. Your friends need your attention. Your work, your computer, your cell phone, the gym, TV. But this is a case of priority, my brother and sister. And God needs your attention. But we can't even find time to allocate time to him. The devil is so successful in keeping us busy. B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke. Another point. We do not need to woo God with location. We don't need to go to the Wailing Wall to pray. We don't need to bow down to Mecca 5 times every Friday. Prayer at your backyard fence is just as effective. The one who hears prayer is our daddy. We don't need to impress him with our eloquence. Matthew 6, verse 7, 8, Jesus said, and when you pray, don't be like the people who don't know God. They continue saying things that mean nothing, thinking that God will hear them because of their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. Jesus downplayed the importance of words in prayers. Have you noticed how short the Our Father prayer is? We have written books, volumes, this thick, about this prayer. Yet that short prayer encompasses everything we need for life. But we tend to do the opposite. The more words, the better. The better words, the better. Matthew 6, verse 7, Jesus says, don't ramble like heathens who talk a lot. Our God is a living God. He might be the Ancient of Days, but he is not hard of hearing. We do not need to repeat ourselves for his sake. Once is enough. That does not mean that you should not repeat a prayer. Elijah in the Old Testament repeated his prayer 7 times. First for the drought and then for the rain to come. And sometimes it'd be necessary to repeat our prayers. Not for God's sake, but for our own sake. We struggle to believe. Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. Be humble. I'm going to pray this over until I believe it. Faith comes by hearing. Personally, Delessi and I pray every day for our children and grandchildren, for salvation and for guidance. Hey, jy hoor, Christian, hoe baie bid jou opa vir jou, hè? Nou, oppas. My brothers and sisters, just as a happy child cannot mishug, the sincere heart cannot mispray. Life has enough burdens without the burden of praying correctly. I want you to read this with me aloud. If prayer depends on how I pray, then I'm afraid I'm sunk. But if the power of prayer depends on the one who hears the prayer, and if the one who hears the prayer is my daddy, then I have hope and assurance that my prayers are heard. Resist the urge to complicate it. My brothers and sisters, it's a stormy world out there. Every day brings new challenges and problems. Our shaky economy, corruptions, aging bodies, declining employment, increasing violence, student unrest, Donald Trump, Julius Malema. The question during these troubling times is this: whom can we go to? Whom can we trust? The Bible has the answer. Psalm 86:5. O Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for your help. Psalm 25:18. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. Many people suffer from small thoughts about God. And in our effort to see him as a friend, we have lost his immensity. Because he's our friend, he's all of a sudden become our buddy, our pal. He's still high above us, the holy God. In our desire to understand him, we have sought to contain him. But the God of the Bible cannot be contained. He has no peer. Isaiah 46:9. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. The greatest kings have surrendered their crowns. Alexander the Great is a mound of dust in a grave. The Queen of England, sorry Derek, whatever you may think of her, the Queen of England is called Her Majesty. Yet she must eat, she must bath, and she must rest. But the true majesty, on the other hand, he neither slumbers nor sleeps, never goes hungry, has never needed any attention or assistance. Hebrews 1:3 says, he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. He has authority over the whole world, and he has authority over your world, your sleep patterns, your eating habits, your salary, the arthritis in your joints, your fears, your insecurities, your future. God reigns over all of these, and he is never surprised. God's power is unsurpassed, and his heart is unblemished. James 1:17, Message says, there is nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. God's goodness is a major headline in the Bible, and I think this is the reason why. If God were only mighty, we would salute him. But since he is merciful and mighty, we can approach him. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And a glimpse of God's goodness changes us. His unrivaled goodness undergirds everything else we may say about prayer. If he is like us, only slightly stronger, then why pray? If he grows weary, why pray? If he has limitations, questions, or hesitations, then we might as well pray to the doom prophet in Limpopo. But just beware, if you do that, be prepared to meet thy doom. However, God is at once Father and Creator, holy, unlike us, and high above us. Then we at any point are only a prayer away from help. How many disasters would be averted if we'd first go to Jesus in faith? The punchline is clear. Take your problem to our Heavenly Father using the name of Jesus. Don't take your problem out on others. The moment you sense a problem, however large or small, take it to Christ. Now, many of you will say to me, if I take my promise to Jesus every time I have one, I'm going to be talking to Jesus all day long. Now you are getting the point. This also helps you in practicing the presence of Christ in you. I never talk to my wife if she's not in my vicinity or if I'm not conscious that she's with me. But I can talk aloud to Jesus because he is in me and he is with me and I'm continually conscious of Christ in him. I remember one famous preacher, very, very good orator, and he had all his fans always following him. And so after one of those wonderful sermons again, one of his fans came to me and said, "Pastor, how much time do you spend alone with Jesus?" He said, "Brother, the moment you remove yourself, I'm alone with Jesus." And remember this, Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. Don't worry or fret. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. Listen, my brothers and sisters, when God solves your problems, you have so much faith in his abilities. Amen. But when God does not solve your problems, he has faith in your abilities to solve them yourself. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Remember this. Worrying does not take away tomorrow's troubles. It only takes away today's peace. Often when we think this is the end, I cannot face another day, and God smiles from above and he says, "Relax, sweetheart. It's just a bend. It's not the end." I have this huge thorn tree in the back of my garden. The southeaster blows all those thorns onto my lawn, and often I've stepped into one and I've had my hand pricked. An unprayed for problem is like an embedded thorn. It infects your finger and eventually your whole hand. Best go to the person who has the tweezers. Prayer is one of the best gifts we receive. There is no cost, just a lot of rewards. Make sure you pray. And pray believing God will answer. May God manifest himself today and the days ahead in ways you have never experienced before. May your joy be fulfilled and your prayers be answered. I pray that faith enters a new height in you. I pray that your territory is enlarged. pray for peace, healing, health, happiness, prosperity, joy, and a true undying love for God in Jesus' name. Deuteronomy 4 verse 7, the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him. Are you expecting me to say amen now, eh? No. Now we are going to do a little practical, just to show how easy it is to pray. You know, the only silent prayer, this morning's worship was totally different to what we're used to. Isn't that so? How easily do we fall into a rut? Right? And anything that's a bit strange, then we're wary of it. But I believe God used this worship this morning, the way we did it, just to get us out of our rut. The only silent prayer I found was when Elkanah's wife, Hannah, was pleading to God for a son. And the high priest at that time, Eli, he just saw her moving her lips and he presumed that she was drunk. Prayer is not silent. Still to date. No, man. Me still to date. Not quiet time. That should be a rowdy time. Right? Because I'm talking to God. How would you feel if I came to visit you, sitting there, just trying to communicate with my mind? Would that really be fellowshipping with you or fellowshipping with God? No. So this morning, we are going to have a short practice in conversational prayer. We used to call them popcorn prayers. Not more than one, at the most two sentences. All right, we're going to pray for the salvation of our town and our valley. We're going to pray for peace during the festive season, that no crime will take place. The other day I was shown a list of all the attacks the masked gang have done in the valley. It's astounding. It's scary. And we pray against alcohol abuse in our town. So, but first we are going to start by just giving glory to God. I will start, then Dale will follow, Derek will follow, Usher, Leslie, Vessel, and the rest of you, I'll nominate you later. All right. So don't be scared. Just one sentence or two sentences at the most, glorifying God. Are you ready? All right. Father, you are glorious. You are majestic. You are wonderful, full of compassion and love, and we worship you.
Jesus, your name is above all names.
Hallelujah.
The name most high.
Thank you, Jesus.
The name before which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You, Jesus Christ, you are the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the name. Thank you, Jesus. Come on,
pop.
Ja.
Mens gaan kom in hierdie vallei gaan instroom, Here.
Dankie, Here.
Dis waar ons gaan bedien word, eers en deur ons kinders van die Here. Ek vra, Here, dat U vir ons nie 'n gees van vrees afdruk gee nie, maar gees van liefde. En van a spirit of fear, of love and power and sound mind.
Thank you, Jesus.
Here, die heerlikheid wat ons sal weet, ons sal bang nie so te getuie. Ons bid vir die redding vir elke siel in ons.
Praise the Here. Yeah. That was a long sin, Asher, but praise the Here.
Lord, we pray for peace in the valley.
Amen.
Lord, that there will be peace between people.
Yes, Father.
That there will be understanding and cooperation. Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Come on.
That you will pour out your heart, your love in our hearts for one another. Mm-hmm.
Amen, yes.
Just to embrace
them. Hallelujah.
Thank you for the victory that you're bringing in this season, Lord, that we'll celebrate the eternal life of God.
Amen, yes.
It's not Christmas that is celebrated, but that the King of Kings.
Amen, yes, yes, amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Come on, let's go back further in the back rows. Come on. I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters. Just one sentence. That's all.
I just
Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes, Father. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father God, for giving yourself to us. For the wonderful privilege to be able to call you today.
Amen.
Father, may our lives testify to this very community.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes, before. Yeah. Sorry.
Thank you, Father. We trust you now that you will break the yoke of alcohol abuse in this town.
Yes. Thank you, Father. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, just for the final prayer, I want you to pray this also aloud with me. Father, draw me into a daily, more intimate walk with you. May prayer become as natural to me as breathing. And may you work through my prayers to help bring about your kingdom and your will in my heart, my home, and my generation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you and enjoy the fellowship. If there is anybody here who has problems with prayer, we'll be waiting here. There's anybody here who is not certain of his salvation? Please, don't leave here without that surety this morning. We'll be waiting here in front to pray with you. May the Lord God be glorified in and through our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.